I mean, I think if you're thinking about anything, like, you should definitely follow your intuition and explore it. I've always done that my whole life, and it's led me to many beautiful paths.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015. So stay tuned for more from them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. Hello and welcome back, and thank you for being here today. If you've been following me for a while now, you'll know that I spent several years traveling the world nomadically, and there are all sorts of beautiful things, beautiful highs and very low lows and challenges and rewards that come with that sort of travel and that sort of lifestyle and living abroad. It's all just one giant adventure that seems to always keep you on your toes. And today I have with me a friend who has had similar seasons in her life with one really big difference. And that is that she rescued a dog along the way and continues to travel with said dog literally all over the world. So I'm looking forward to digging into the story of how a nomadic traveler came to adopt a pet and continues traveling and making that pet a huge part of her story. So here with me to lead the way into this subject is Laura Pope. So Laura, thank you for being here and welcome to my podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here. And so is my dog, who is currently
I love it.
He's like, they're talking about
me.
Tell us, what's your dog's name? I think I might have just said it, but introduce him since he wants to be introduced.
His name is Puglo. Puglo Escobar.
Okay.
I got him in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Well, he found me.
Oh, I love that. Okay, we're going to definitely get into that story. In fact, you're in Puerto Vallarta right now, aren't you?
Yeah, correct. I have like a little home base here now.
Okay, why don't we start with how all of this came to be? So maybe where you're from and maybe a little bit of your background and how you even ended up on the road, so people can get at least an idea of who they're listening to.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Canada, Newfoundland. It's a big isolated island on the East Coast. I grew up there, but I never really was happy with my life. So in my 20s, I was kind of traveling around Canada, living and working like a 9-to-5, which was very soul crushing, as many people find. And after a while, I had some big life things happen in 2017, like my dad passed away and I went through a bad breakup. And that was kind of the catalyst of like, okay, I always wanted to travel. And I was always doing like maybe 2 or 3 weeks a year while I was working on my vacation, but I wanted more. So after all of that happened, I'm like, okay, I got to do it. So I took a year in 2018 to go backpacking. And the idea was like to, you know, take a year and get out of my system. Obviously didn't work.
Heard that before.
Yeah. Met lots of cool people on the road, as you know, that just made me feel more inspired. So I did go back to my job for like a few months with the intention to quit. And I did that a few months later into 2019. And that's when I started travel blogging, travel writing, and I guess becoming more of a nomad than a backpacker. And yeah, I did that full time for like, I still am, but I have like a home base in Mexico, but I was really homeless, I guess, for 5 or 6 years, traveling quite quickly, which led to burnout, but was very fun. And then, yeah, I had come to Puerto Vallarta in 2021, just for like 3 months at the time. I really loved it. Had no idea that I was going to come back and move here, but as I left and traveled other places, I just found myself like missing it. Like it felt like home. I would get homesick for it and not Canada. Yeah.
Trainer. So
after a while of just becoming really burned out, I'm like, okay, I need to do something about this. And that's when I decided in 2023, I think, to come back to Mexico. And I like got an apartment. And that was also the year that I found Puglo.
Is that the year we went to Japan? 2023?
Yes.
Yeah, it wow. is. So this was all like super new for you right when we met, which is so fun.
Yes. I had actually just gotten my apartment like a couple of weeks. Like I was trying to furnish it while we were in Japan, I remember.
Yeah. I guess I do remember the stories. What I remember when we had like mats in that one room together in that big house that we stayed in for a couple of nights. I do remember you talking about that at that point. We should probably tell the story about how we met, because I actually love that most of the people that come on my show are like random, like fun people that I've met in my travels. And so I feel like we always have a good story. And you and I met in Japan. How did we meet?
We met we were both at the same conference, the Adventure Travel World Summit. Yep. And we were on the same pre-FAM, which was a Mount Fuji 6-day trip around that region.
Yeah. And I remember you showing up and like you didn't have like the right backpack or the right clothes or something. You were like freaking out.
Oh, because it was really hot.
I remember this.
Like it was supposed to be, well, it was in Hokkaido, yeah. But our pre-trip was obviously further south. And it was like 30 something degrees. But they had sent all these emails being like, bring warm clothes because Hokkaido is cooler. So I had all these like cold weather clothes and nothing to wear when we're like biking in 35 degree heat. That was it. Yeah.
It was so hot. Yeah, it was very muggy. That was a really cool trip, though. It was you and me and a bunch of guys, and we like cycled around the Shizuoka Peninsula and eventually went to Mount Fuji and did that crazy like 10-mile up and back hike in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, because we were supposed to do it.
Had a gorgeous day there
overnight, but there was too much wind.
Oh, there was like a typhoon or whatever it is that they call it in that part of the world. Yeah, that was what happened. And they have evacuated the whole mountain and everything. Yeah, so we got to have that adventure together, which I guess was over 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
And so that was when you found a home in Puerto Vallarta and found Puglos. So tell us the story of how you ended up finding Puglos. What happened there?
I feel like I kind of manifested him somehow, because I was in Mexico that summer. I was trying like intentionally to like slow down and not travel so much. So I'm in Mexico and I was out to dinner with my friend and I'm telling him I really want to foster a dog, because I used to foster dogs all the time in university. And I always say, like, if I didn't love travel so much, I'd live on a farm with like 10 dogs. I love them. So I'm like, this is a great way to like have a little bit of dog in my life. And then the next day he texts me and he's like, yeah, my neighbor just dropped off this puppy like on my doorstep. She doesn't want it, and she like basically just left it at my house. Like, do you want to foster it? So of course I said yes. I'm like, bring him to the beach right now. I want to meet him. So he brings Puglo, and he's like a little 7-pound potato, cutest thing in the world. I fell in love, and like there's a video of us meeting, and I'm within 3 seconds I'm like, I love him.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, so I took him home. It was really sweet too, because my friend told me, like, when he had him for a couple of days before I met him, and he's like, yeah, he's really like skittish, like I don't know what happened, like something traumatic must have happened to him, like he was being hit or something, he won't let me touch him. But it's like, as soon as he came to the beach, I think it was his first time at the beach, he was just so excited. And when he met me, he was so excited, and he just had like full trust in me. I just carried him home with me. I'm like, you're fine now.
This is mine. Yeah. Mine.
Yeah. So like, aww. I think maybe not even a week later, I'm like, yeah, I can't give this dog to anyone. Because I met a lot of people, like I would carry him around with me everywhere in Mexico. And he was so cute. People would stop me all the time and I'd say like, yeah, he's for adoption. So I very quickly like met people who were very interested in him. And there was this one guy in particular, and he was texting me, and I was just like about to text him to like make plans. And I'm like, I can't. I can't give this dog up. Because I also saw like how chill he was with adventuring. Like we would just like go on the local bus in Mexico or like go to a bar or a market. And he was just down for whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, you're my soul dog. Like you're up for whatever we do.
So how did you end up then traveling with him? Because at that point you were creating a home base already in Mexico, or were you still kind of nomadic?
Both. Like I was trying to... yeah, create a home base. I was in the process of buying like my apartment. I think that was June I got him, and I got my apartment in September, but I had an apartment I was living in Mexico. So since I've got him, we've probably traveled still like at least over half the year.
Okay.
But yeah, so when I got, that was the whole thing. I'm like, oh my God, like I can't travel and have a dog. But when I started researching into it, I'm like, wait, people do travel and have dogs, especially like I'm lucky because Pueblo is carry-on size and that makes a huge difference that he can come in the cabin with me. So yeah, I'm like, it's just more paperwork. It's annoying, but I love him, so I can make this work.
How many countries have you guys traveled to together? Like, what kind of travel have you done with him?
So we've been to 16 countries now together. We've done a lot of travel in Latin America. Like, I think our first country was Canada, because we do Canada and the U.S., Mexico a lot, which is relatively easy. But yeah, our first country in Latin America was Argentina. We've done Colombia. We've done Guatemala, El Salvador. Last year, we went to Thailand. We lived in Chiang Mai for 2 months. And oh, in Europe. Yeah.
Amazing.
Last summer we spent in Europe together. We went all over.
And he's just your little companion, like a little bit of paperwork. And then you're just with a dog. What do you find? Like, is it easy to find places to stay where you can have your dog with you? And like, what does it look like logistically?
That part is actually the easiest part, I would say, like finding places to stay, because there's pet filters on Airbnb or booking.com, whatever you're using. It does obviously narrow down your search, but I've never had trouble. The only thing that was actually I found difficult was in Chiang Mai, because in Thailand, I don't know why, but apartments are very not pet friendly. I think it's something built into the like condo rules. So that was challenging to find an apartment we could live in there. But otherwise, like in, especially in Mexico, like everywhere is dog friendly here. And sorry, I shouldn't say it's a little bit of paperwork. Like, it can be quite a headache. I'm just kind of used to it now. It is a lot more logistically to think about. And there are some countries that dogs actually aren't allowed to come, or it's just really difficult. So sometimes I will go on trips without him, which I hate doing.
I think you're going to understand what I mean when I say, like, it must really have, like, a semblance of like, a regular life for you. Like, it, because you've got your home base, but more than that, you actually have a pet, you know? And like when it's just you, you feel a lot more free and like you can come and go. And even if you have a home base, you're still like a level above like having any ties, you know? It's like you can just come and go. And like, I guess I think having a dog, even though you're living abroad, you're having this lifestyle overseas as an expat essentially, but you have a home there and you have a dog. Like that's your, it's like a regular life almost. It's wild how much putting a dog in your life like changes the definition, I feel like, of like, I don't know, being kind of free. And but you take, I don't know, there's, because you still take him with you. I just can't imagine. I think my brain is like, how are you doing this? I don't know.
I know what you mean. It does. It's like it seems really far fetched because I thought the same thing. I'm like, there's no possible way. And now that I travel with Pueblo, I'm like, how did I not have Pueblo before? Like, he really does give me a sense of home. Wherever I go, he makes my travels like so much more joyous. Like, I'm so grateful for him, and it's worth like all the headache.
I love it. Does he just like sit in a backpack with you when you, I don't know, I'm imagining, I mean, I've seen videos of you with him in your backpack, like on a moto in Thailand or something, you know, but like, does he like hike with you? And like, what does he inhibit, like what you want to do? Or do you just take him with you on everything?
No, he totally inhibits like everything I want to do, especially when it comes to the outdoors. Like, he really just mirrors my energy, which is amazing, because I can be super lazy one day and not leave the house. He's like, cool, I'm down to cuddle. And then the next day I'm like, we're doing an 8-hour hike. And he's like, all right, I'm in, which is
sweet.
Very lucky for, because like, he's a pug and pugs are naturally very lazy and can have a lot of like breathing issues. I call him like a sports boat pug because he's really long and tall, and he's got like this little like 1-inch snout, I call it. So he's much more capable than the average pug, I would say. He can hike, like he kicks my ass when we go hiking. Like, he's like running up the mountain. He's so excited. It's incredible.
Oh, cool. Great. I wish he could have come to Japan. That would have been fun.
I know.
To have him with us.
Do you remember we saw a pug on our hike? Oh, no, that was in Hokkaido. You weren't there with me. On our the post trip in Hokkaido, we did like a volcano hike, and there was a pug there at the time, and they were like carrying it up.
Hiking the volcano.
Yeah.
Oh, you could have. Oh, man. That's fun. So what kind of, okay, I know you said that it's kind of a headache for the paperwork and stuff. What is it that you're actually having to prove? And like, is it hard to put all that together? Or is it just time?
It's just confusing because like there's no standardization. It's not like there's like one thing you get and then you're good for the world. It's that every country has their own import requirements, and then they might also have like an export requirement. So you're basically just proving that your dog is vaccinated and healthy. And some countries are more stringent about that. For example, Australia, because they don't have rabies, they don't allow dogs to just come in. Like I think it's a mandatory 30-day quarantine. So that's a country, for example, that we won't be able to travel. Japan is another example. They also have pretty stringent requirements, although we can actually go there because there's this thing you can get called a rabies titer test, which basically proves that your dog has like rabies antibodies. And that test, if you travel a lot with your dog, is like incredibly useful. It's just like a step up on the rabies vaccine.
Uh-huh. Do you have that?
Yeah, we have that now.
Yeah.
So for example, like Europe is like really easy. Like you can get either an EU pet passport, which you get in Europe, which is essentially just a document that has a rabies vaccine that's validated by an EU vet. And once you have that, you can travel in and out, like no problem. But if you don't have that, you have to get, if you're coming from the US, for example, you would have to get a health certificate from a vet there. But then that health certificate has to be endorsed by USDA. So it's just like a lot of money. I think it's like $500 or $600 just to do that, which is annoying if you're traveling in and out.
Sure.
In Mexico, it's different because like it's SENASA is the organization and they endorse them actually for free, which is nice, but they're like, it's just Mexican bureaucracy. So it's just really annoying to deal with. I'll have to go to the office like four times just to like try to get someone to do it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So it's just like a lot more to think about than just booking a flight and like copying on yourself. Like it's just, you don't have to like normally fill out all the paperwork, you know?
Yeah. But I can see, I mean, you can, anybody who comes across your platform or talks to you, I'm sure, can like feel how much this dog means to you. How, like, what are some of the ways that he's just changed your life? Like, what do you, I know you said you're grateful for him, but like, what is it? Like, what is it that was going on in Laura's life that like made this dog just change everything?
Well, it's just having like the constant companionship of like you wake up and I'm like, oh, there's this cute thing to like cuddle with, you know, it just sets this like really positive tone to your day. And then I have to go outside to walk him, so I go outside a lot more. You kind of like plan your days like around your dog, which is nice in a way because it makes me like more active. He is very like social, so he spreads smiles like whenever we go. Like when we're biking along the Malecón in Mexico, like I'll let him off the leash and he'll just like bike along me, and I could just see everyone like taking photos and like stopping and they're like, oh, pug. So it's just like fun, you know, it just adds a lot more like smiles into your day and like a lot more human interactions because people want to stop and ask you about him. So it's also like a really great way to meet people when you're traveling.
Yeah, I bet. It kind of like makes you get out of your comfort zone a bit because it's so easy when you, especially you talked about burnout, and maybe we can, I don't know, talk about that for a minute because I've been there as well with travel. But I feel like it's so easy sometimes when you're far away from everybody and everything that you know to just kind of stay inside, you know. And I mean, you don't have to leave, especially working by yourself on your computer. As long as you have Wi-Fi, like you can just set up anywhere. I remember being, when I was living nomadically for a few years, I was in Argentina, and I had this awesome apartment with a view that looked out at the lake. I mean, it was like filtered lake view through the buildings, but whatever, it was gorgeous. And there were whole days that I just didn't leave the apartment, which I know, like that still happens to me in my house now, like you're working or whatever it is and you just don't end up leaving that day. But I think it was for a different reason at that time, you know, it's like, because I didn't have the social community around me. And it just was really easy to just stay inside of that little corner of comfort that I had created for myself. And yeah, you can't do that when you have a pet.
Yeah, it's true. I'm definitely guilty of doing that too in the past.
We'll come right back to that. But first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Let's talk about a new bag from Osprey that's getting awards and lots of hype, the Scuffle. What in the world is a scuffle? Well, if you put square and duffel together, you get scuffle, which is exactly what this bag is, a square-shaped duffel. Now, just to be clear, when it's all zipped up, it's rectangular and easy to carry with its stowaway backpack straps. But the coolest feature about this bag is that you not only have the option of opening it via the U-zip panel access to the top, but you can also unzip all the way around the perimeter of the bag, opening it up like a clamshell, which creates a square. If you need help imagining this, go to osprey.com and check out the scuffle. That's S-Q-U-F-F-E-L to see this magic that I'm talking about. I love the clamshell option because I am a very organized packer. And with everything in its proper packing cube, I can further organize by packing clothes on one side of the clamshell and gear and toiletries on the other. There are zip dividers to keep the contents of each side secure, and these dividers are roll away if you prefer not to use them. I love a good versatile bag, and that's exactly what the scuffle is. It comes in both 44 and 70 liter sizes, so you can carry it on or check it if you want. The zippers all slide super smoothly, which is important to me. It has burly webbing grab handles on every side. Its Blue Sign approved Nano Tough exterior is remarkably strong and highly water resistant, so it's absolutely worthy of being thrown into the back of a pickup truck full of hockey gear for an away tournament. And when you get to said tournament and realize the rain leaked through the shell of the back of the truck, you'll be relieved that only your hockey gear is wet, not your clothes that were packed safely and securely inside your new scuffle. I wish I could say I wasn't speaking from experience on that one, but that is exactly why the scuffle gets full approval from me and two thumbs up. You can find the scuffle and all the packing cubes that fit perfectly inside it at osprey.com. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
Before you got Pueblo and you went, well, you had your year that you did on your own and started doing some travel blogging stuff then, and then kind of took it full time. What did that time look like? Like, how were you able to build something to support yourself? Like, how were you able to build your business to support yourself in that time? What did that look like?
It evolved a lot. Like, over the years, it was always kind of like doing something different. So I guess what I started, like a lot of people, when they start like blogging or YouTubing, they'll wait until they get to like a number they're comfortable making and then quit their jobs. I did not do that at all. Like, I was making like a couple hundred dollars from affiliates and I'm like, okay, cool. Some money, like I can Let's make go. More.
Yeah.
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 But I also knew I was quitting like my government job. So I was going to get some like payout for my pension for that. So I had sort of like a safety net of savings at the beginning. But okay. It was very much like, let's figure it out as we go, because it wasn't like that much, like it wasn't going to last forever, you know. But yeah, so I did a lot of like travel writing at the beginning. I started writing first just like for other bloggers.
Oh, for other bloggers. Okay.
At first, yeah, just to kind of like build my portfolio and like just become a better writer. And then I was doing like writing for like Skyscanner, like Matador Network, a few different publications. I was creating content for an app. They changed their name now, but it was called Trip Scout at the time. It was like a travel inspiration app. I was working with them for a while. And then, yeah, after a few years, I was making like enough just from my blogs that I'm like, okay, I can kind of like cut back on writing and just focus on this. But yeah, even now that shifted. And now I don't know if you saw, but I'm doing like a lot more like Airbnb and stuff like that.
No, I haven't seen that. But tell me about that, because I mean, when you said, oh, it's evolved, like, yes, that is, it evolves. I mean, this travel industry is so volatile, especially in this last handful of years, yeah. Like right when you got into it, when COVID hit and everything is different now with blogs. I mean, the model has to be different because what used to work does not work anymore. And so I'm actually curious, how are you doing it now? Like, what's your Airbnb thing?
Yeah. So now, like, I really do a mix of things because, yeah, as you said, things evolved. There was like the helpful content update. And I think that was like 2023, around the same time as Japan.
And that's the AI stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's when AI,
yeah.
AI came out, that was like pretty devastating to blogging. And I just didn't want to rely on it to be like my only income source. I'm like, this is too stressful.
Smart. Mm-hmm.
So at the time, like, I had gotten my apartment in Mexico and my intention was to always rent it out while I was traveling. So I started Airbnb-ing it, and that was like, went really well. I also like designed it to be super cute. I really loved that process. And yeah, I really just loved being a host. And yeah, so that created this like really nice extra passive income stream. Well, relatively passive. You have to like
be able
to send messages. But if you set things up, it can be like pretty passive. It's just obviously if something is like broken, you need to fix it. But yeah, like I'm able to manage it, my apartment from abroad. And then last year, I decided to do what's called Airbnb arbitrage. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No, I've never even heard of this. What is this?
So it's like a model where you rent places long term and then sublease them on Airbnb, but you have to get like agreement from the landlord so that they know they're doing it.
Okay. Okay.
So you're getting like just a long term rent price, and then you're renting it for more like short term, and you're making like some profit from it.
Yeah.
So I started taking a couple of units here. They were kind of like fixer uppers, but I wanted that experience, like redesigning something and making it cute and making it my own. So that was kind of last year what I was doing a lot of in the spring. And yeah, now I have like three of those units plus mine. So now I'm kind of doing like a mix of Airbnb stuff and blogging stuff as well.
Cool. Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. It's hard when you, when you put so much of yourself into something and then the freaking world changes and it all kind of turns upside down, like just doesn't work for you the way that it was.
Mm. Yeah. And I just felt like it very like resistant towards it. So I'm just like, I just want to do something else. And it's funny because now that I've done that, I've kind of like gone back the other way and I'm like, okay, that was cool. But like now I kind of miss the creative world. And I feel like more inspired to write again. So I think I like needed to do that to kind of find love for this again.
Yeah, no, I think that's really, I can relate to that in a way because there's a part of my journey that I feel like I have gone back to as well. Because I've been doing this for like, I don't know, 13 years now. And so there's been so many different things that I've done in the last like 13 years, you know, but most recently, I feel like a big part of me is going back to just like me, who I am. And like, and I'm a writer at my core, you know, like I'm working on a book now, like I'm changing shifting my focus and my business like yet again, you know, because we have to evolve. I mean, not just in our industry, but in this life right now, it's kind of a wild ride. But actually I want to ask you, I know we're kind of tangenting on like a bunch of different things, but I know that there's something that you did that I want to ask you about because 2 years ago in 2024, I took a 2-month sabbatical where my intent was to just drop everything and not work. And I know that you went to Thailand with kind of a different approach to like that trip was different for you than most of your other trips, right? Like, weren't you kind of focusing more on resetting? I'd actually really love to maybe hear a little bit about what happened on that trip and why you did it and what you got out of that particular season of your life.
Yeah, so that was last winter, I think we were talking about when I was living in Chiang Mai.
Mm-hmm.
I was, yeah, very burnt out. I think from blogging, mostly like the AI stuff, I just felt like very overwhelmed with social media. And because Chiang Mai is such a great and like affordable place to live, and I was renting my place in Mexico, I'm like, okay, you know what, I can just chill, like not worry about producing content, being online. So I actually just deleted like all my apps for a couple of weeks and just spent like a lot of time with my friends in Chiang Mai, hanging out, like going on hikes, going to dinners, but like truly trying to like be present with them and just thinking about like what I wanted. And that was kind of what had led to this like arbitrage business I started. It was actually supposed to be a property management business with my friend, but that's another story of that didn't work out. But I pivoted. It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Chiang Mai did like provide me a really nice space to just like clear my head and think about what I wanted.
And what did you learn?
Well, what I was feeling like at the time was that I was just, social media was like really not good for me. Like it was just, it was like a lot of like comparison. And I don't know, in that like time frame last year, like I really felt like I had to like take a step back from it and do something else. And now, and like this season, a year later, I'm like, okay, I like did that. I did something else. And now I kind of like miss that in a way. But actually what I'm trying to do now is not so focused on my original brand. I'm actually trying to build a brand around Puglo, around traveling with dogs.
Yeah. So your original brand was what, and what was the purpose?
Well, my original like website, Explore with Laura, that has evolved so much. Like I started it when I was on that backpacking trip, and it was just a solo female traveler blog about, I guess at the time, like backpacking and hiking. And then it kind of like evolved into digital nomad stuff. But I don't know. I just feel like I kind of like lost the passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, with Puglo, like I feel a lot more focused because like, I was talking about like traveling with dogs is really complicated. So the information that I'm providing and like these experiences are like genuinely so useful to people. And I find mm-hmm. like the community that I've built around, he has like his own page. It's really engaged and it's just like really positive, I think, because it's a dog loving community.
Yeah.
So people are like really nice. I don't know. There was just some like nastiness in social media that I was really like, it was really turning me off. But now that I've kind of found this like different dog community, I feel more attracted to it again.
So what are your plans for that then? If that's like, you're kind of niching down is what it sounds like to being more dog centric. Is it the same platform, Explore with Laura, or is it a different thing entirely?
And no, so Puglo has his own channel, Adventures of Puglo.
And website, or just the one on Instagram?
Not his own website. I decided to keep my domain, Explore with Laura, just for like authority reasons. But I publish now predominantly dog content, dog travel content on that website. But yeah, separate Instagram accounts. We like cross collaborate all the time.
He comments on your things.
I do actually comment like back and forth, like as if we're talking to each other. And I find it hilarious. I don't know if anyone else. Sometimes people will like the comments. This is so silly.
You're having fun with it though, and I feel like that's like a huge turn for the positive for having just been through burnout and trying other things and then coming around to this thing that just brings you so much joy. Like I love to see it.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, we have like a Facebook community, and I'm building a course right now about traveling with dogs, so there's lots of stuff.
All right, so yeah, what is that like, what's next, where do you see this going?
So this year, I really do want to focus on this. My goal is to make this like a sustainable brand that could be like my full-time income. So I'm focused right now on building the course, keeping growing the community. I want to grow his Instagram. I want to make a YouTube channel for him. I mean, I've been saying I'm going to do a YouTube channel for literally 8 years, and I never do it. But I finally feel like this is so focused that I think with like my brand, it was just kind of like all over the place. And I never knew like what to focus on for YouTube, where this I feel like is more aligned. So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like it's similar to the travel. Like I obviously know some stuff about being an influencer because I was in the travel blogging space. But the pet influencer world is kind of like this whole new space that I'm trying to learn. There's like pet conferences and stuff that I'm thinking about going to. So yeah, it's like a whole new world.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's great. Good for you for like growing and evolving and taking it to the next step and allowing Puglo to show up for you and for showing up for him and responding and having such a neat thing come out of it.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I think that was kind of it too with, I didn't mention this, but with like the blogging stuff, like I found with the press trips I was getting invited on, I would always ask like, can I bring my dog? And the answer was always no. And it was really frustrating me because when I first got him, like the first year, I had already had like work trips lined up. So I was just, you know, going on these trips without him, but I really miss him so much, like when we're not together. And because it's our focus, like I want to go on trips with him. So it just felt like it wasn't like a sustainable way to keep going forward with my solo stuff. Like I had to really rebrand to make sense to brands. Like, no, you need to take us both for this to work.
Yeah. And so now that's happening. Now you're getting to, they're actually probably coming to you because you have a dog, right?
Yeah, it's starting to. I mean, his brand is still like in early stages, but yeah, I think it's definitely like heading in the right direction.
How cute. Okay. So where can we find Puglo? Where do we find all of these things?
You can find Puglo mostly on Instagram at Adventures of Puglo. Is his handle
Adventures of Puglo. Okay, we're gonna put that in the show notes.
And on my website, Explore with Laura, you can find more like in-depth guides.
Okay. And that's L-O-R-A.
Correct. Yeah.
Yes. So explorewithlaura.com.
Yeah. And on Puglo's Instagram, like there's links to that. There's links to the Facebook group, which is free to join. And yeah, there's some other resources there too for people who want to travel with their dogs.
And also I will say, I don't even have a dog and I love following Puglo because he's so cute. I mean, when you see a video of him with his tongue out and he's like cruising in a backpack on a moto, you're going to want to follow him too. So I think that your brand is for more than just pet owners. It's just, I think it's like happy. And I love that there's like happy things to see on social. Good for you. That's exciting.
I love that too. Like I get so much more joy now just taking videos of him. It's so funny. Like if you look at my camera roll, I'm like, wow, I barely take videos of myself anymore. It's just like all Puglo.
So what kind of, in looking back at like how your life has changed and where it's going, and I feel like how much you've centered yourself really and focused on what you want and you have this dog, what kind of advice would you give to people out there who are maybe considering any of the things that you've done, like going nomadic or starting, you know, a business with travel or getting a dog? Like what kind of overall kind of advice would you give to somebody looking to elevate in that way?
I mean, I think if you're thinking about anything, like you should definitely follow your intuition and explore it. I've always done that my whole life and it's led me to many beautiful paths. Getting a dog specifically is a big commitment, especially if like you are someone who wants to travel. But it's incredible, as I've described. It's just like you kind of have to think like, am I prepared to make the logistical sacrifice for this dog? And if you don't have a dog yet, getting a small dog will make your life like much, much easier. As much as I love big dogs, it's just the reality. Like a small dog is so much easier to travel with.
Well, that can wrap it up. I mean, we've covered a few big things today. Is there anything else that you're like excited about in the future that people might be interested to follow you to find out more about?
Well, I'm excited about this dog course that I'm launching. I think it's going to be hopefully in the next month. So if you're interested in that, definitely follow along on Instagram.
Cool. Okay. Well, I'll put all of those in the show notes and enjoy your sunny. I'm assuming it's sunny because you're in Mexico.
Yeah.
How is the weather? It's like January. What's happening outside?
It's always sunny and perfect this time of year. It's like that breeze. It's just like a paid actor.
Oh my God. I love it. You know, we've had actually a very warm and sunny so far winter in Montana. So I'm not complaining, but I also as a traveler soul, I love for you that you found a home in Puerto Vallarta. Like, I think that's really, it's hard to do, honestly, as a nomadic traveler, as somebody who has that kind of traveling soul, it's hard to find a home to where you feel comfortable. And so I'm really happy for you just that things are kind of working out the way that they are and that you're kind of steering things that in a way that works for you and taking people along for the ride. That's really neat.
Yeah, thank you so much.
It's great talking to you. And I hope that we can stay in touch and that I'll see you at some point again. So thank you so much.
For sure. I hope so. Thanks for having me on.